Preparing oral arguments for the court of public opinion. This is the Daniel Natale Show. As we discussed here before, our system is a mixed form of government, based on Aristotle's three main forms from politics, namely monarchy, aristocracy, and republic. Each of these three forms of government had its benefits and its liabilities. To make the best of the good things, and to offset the bad things, Cicero suggested in De Republica to create a mixed form of government based on all three. In place of monarchy, we have the president. In place of aristocracy, we have the Senate. And in place of republic, we have the House of Representatives. Of the three, only one had direct elections, the People's House, the House of Representatives. Because it was based on rule of the uninformed, they knew that the House of Representatives would be more subject to demagogues and ridiculous and short-sighted legislation. Think Free Candy for All, or the Green New Deal. To offset the excesses of the House of Representatives, they had the Senate and the presidency to act as the adults in the room. This is why, though the House of Representatives had popular elections, the Senate and the presidency did not. They were insulated from the public as a method to encourage wise decisions, not decisions based on a popularity contest. Senate was supposed to represent the aristocracy, like the House of Lords in England. As a result, senators were not directly elected, but they were appointed by their state legislators. Therefore, a senator, unlike a congressman, was appointed in a two-step process. Step one was the people in the state voting for their legislators, and step two was those legislators nominating a federal senator to go to Washington, D.C. In 1861, John Stuart Mill, in Considerations on Representative Government, praised the selection process for our senators and said that it was the most successful method in our government. He wrote, "The elections thus made have proved eminently successful and are conspicuously the best of all the elections in the United States, the Senate invariably consisting of the most distinguished men among those who have made themselves sufficiently known in public life." Likewise, the president was not chosen by popular election according to our Constitution. He was, like senators, elected by a two-step process. The state legislators selected electors, and the electors went to the Electoral College and decided upon the president. Long story short, contrary to everything that you were taught in our failing public school system or what you watch on TV, our system as a republic was not designed to be a democracy, which amounts to the popularity contest of mob rule. Our original system was more deliberative, with only the People's House, the House of Representatives, having direct democracy. And here's the thing. The House of Representatives was only tacked on as an afterthought, so that the common citizens felt like they had some representation and wouldn't revolt. It was an add-on. The actual responsible people in the setup were supposed to be the Senate and the President. But a funny thing happened. The add-on took over, and we were told that the rest of the government should look like the House of Representatives. So with the 17th Amendment, they changed the way that senators were appointed, and now they were subject to popular election. While in school we're taught to cheer this alteration of our Constitution, what it means is that now senators need to raise vast amounts of money to be elected, whereas before, they didn't. This changed the power dynamic. Instead of them being responsive to their states, they're now responsive to billionaire oligarchs that they need to get money from. John F. Kennedy, in Profiles in Courage, said that prior to the Civil War, senators were philosophers and statesmen. After the Civil War, they became the representatives not of their states. Rather, they became the senator for the railroad trusts, or the senator for big oil, or the senator for the banking industry. In effect, we lost the Senate, the whole function of the Senate. And the states lost representation in Washington. Melissa Lane, in The Birth of Politics, writes about the Roman Republic and says, "By making Scipio one of the main characters in his dialogue, charged with presenting the arguments in favor of each of the simple forms of constitution, and then defending the mixed constitution of Rome as best, Cicero exhibits his solidarity with the optimates, best people, who identified Roman liberty overall as resting crucially on the prerogatives of the Senate." Here's the thing. There was a push to fundamentally alter our government, changing it from a mixed constitution to one where every branch of government was popularly elected. This changed it from a setup where one part was based on monarchy, another part based on aristocracy, and a third part based on Athenian democracy. The Democrats even now are trying to remove the Electoral College and make the president popularly elected. In doing so, we would fundamentally lose the checks and balances that we had, since monarchy, aristocracy, and democracy would turn into democracy, democracy, and democracy. Kind of like the Beatles if you got rid of Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison, and it was Ringo, 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 and Ringo. Democracies are idiocracies. Rule of the uninformed. As Alexander Fraser Tytler said, "A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, with the result that the democracy collapses because of the loose fiscal policy ensuing, always to be followed by a dictatorship." The unrestrained impulses of the mob will have nothing to temper its worst excesses, and that was the whole point of a mixed government, tempering those excesses of the untutored and those of weak impulse control. Worst of all, with the Senate no longer representing the aristocracy, as it was designed to do, they decided to create their own external deliberative body, usually at business conferences at Davos. This extra-legal, extra-constitutional committee of billionaires and business interests are now unchained and outside of our control. Remember, we gave them a place in our mixed form of government because we wanted them monitored and regulated. By democratizing the Senate, these people left our government and created their second parallel version. Hence, we lost control of them. One of these extra-governmental institutions that has acquired too much power is the Council on Foreign Relations, whose George Kennan had his own ideas about setting up a new version of the Senate, as related in the book, The Shadows of Power. Aging CFR member George Kennan, the originator of containment, may have supplied a clue in an interview with Walter Cronkite televised by CBS on March 31, 1987. Cronkite introduced Kennan as, quote-unquote, one of our genuine wise men. These were their final remarks, perhaps intended to stick the most in viewer consciousness. Cronkite, narrating, quote, to help the United States establish a sound foreign policy and stay within its principles, Kennan believes we should have a council of wise men drawn from all areas of national life, end quote. Kennan, quote, I think it ought to be a permanent body. It ought to be advisory both to the president and to the Congress. And they should have for the government, for the executive branch, and for the legislative branch, some of the prestige and authority of opinions of the Supreme Court. In our legal system, we deal on the basis of precedent. If a court has said something, we take it into account. I would like to see that prestige given to such a body. End quote. Such ambitions are nothing new to the Council. Back in 1924, Count Hugo Lurchenfeld wrote in Foreign Affairs, quote, could not a body of highly deserving and competent men, such as are found in every nation as representatives of its highest moral forces, a kind of Areopagus, meet to give decisions on highly important contested matters? Could not a council be formed whose high judgment and impartiality would be taken for granted and which would guide public opinion all over the world? End quote. What Kennan is suggesting today is that foreign policy, like judicial matters, should be settled by an unelected elite. In conclusion, our Constitution was a mixed form of government. It was a delicately calibrated isometric Jenga tower of tensions. It was supposed to represent different, mutually opposed segments of a society and to help all three work together. Power, like energy in the universe, is never created or destroyed. It just changes forms. Alter the form of the Senate, and the power that the Senate used to represent doesn't disappear. It just joins Davos and the Council on Foreign Relations. And now they're operating outside of your control. If you're looking for another great show to learn from, consider the new American show on the Second Amendment, Two Way for Today, hosted by filmmaker Zoe Warren, as he explores the Second Amendment and explains with expert guests and insightful analysis the continuing central importance of the Second Amendment today. Check it out on thenewamerican.com.